And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all in the Outdoor Living Hour with Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery. We have, he's live at Harper's Nursery because they have the giant pumpkin weigh off coming up at 9 o'clock. They'll be weighing the six entries, trying to break a 486-pound state record set last year by Dean Baker. Dean is in the contest again this year. How many, looking at him, do we think there's going to be one close?
I think close, but I was asking Dean that they have a way they can measure the, you know, the circumference, and then they do a couple of measurements, and it's pretty accurate. They've developed an algorithm, and they don't think that they'll break the record this year. But boy, there's two or three of them out there that he was talking about building a boat. You could cut them in half, and you could literally, you know, go float around and do a little float tube and fly fishing in one of them.
Well, I liked his idea of Chaparral Lake, because if I'm in a pumpkin boat, I'd want to know that it's in water that I can stand up in once.
Yeah, or be able to at least swim to the other side if it did sink. Yeah, I don't think you want to take this over to San Diego and trying to make it out to one of the islands out there.
Put a little outboard on it.
But there's six great pumpkins out there that, they're bigger than anything I've ever grown or seen in a garden. So it's kind of fun to take a look at and come take a picture. And here about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'll have the grill fired up. And, yeah, we'll have some kind of early lunch, late breakfast hot dogs going, too.
Excellent. Now, were you able to look at Ted's Bradford pear pictures?
I did. And let me pull them back up here if we've got a second. And, pears in general here can sometimes have a hard time with drainage. And that's generally what the issues typically come down to. And one of the best ways to improve drainage is to water longer, deeper, and slower and less often. But his look pretty darn good. And what he's got going on is not an uncommon problem here, with especially with citrus, and it's called thrip. And it's a little insect, and that insect stings or, you know, has a sharp leg that they lay eggs in between the tissue of the leaves. And when the leaf heals, it curls up. And so we see thrip damage on a lot of citrus. I don't know that I've seen it on pears too often. But that's what he's got. It's purely cosmetic. It's nothing to really worry about. His color looks good. His growth looks good. It's just a cosmetic problem. Where thrips become a real problem in the garden is typically on rose bushes, because they do very much the same thing in the bud of a rose bush, and they keep the flower from opening properly. So it's a real problem with roses. He doesn't have a real problem with his pear at all.
Well, that's good to know. There you go, Ted. We appreciate you emailing that in. As summer comes, we'll keep talking about heat prep and heat prep and heat prep. And if you've got chickens outside, Mom actually handed me an article that's a little floofy. I won't lie.
Well, I think it's a lady's chickens for
summer,
sure.
Summer heat stress and cooling tips for backyard chicken keepers.
And how to make a chicken spa treatment.
Yeah.
it's really nothing different than you would think. It's just that it's written from a woman's perspective. So I had a little trouble getting Romy to read it. But she just talks about putting, you know, keeping them cool. They pant like a little dog, you know, to get the air in, and to put a little pool out and put some herbs in there and some ice. And they love to get in it. And that's their chicken spa.
I love how she starts off the article as temperatures soar in Cape Cod. Come on.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
It might get to 80, right?
I feel for our chickens. Romy, do you guys do anything special for yours?
We put in a vap cooler.
Oh, that's special.
It runs day and night.
Wow.
And we put it right out there, and it's got a little oscillator fan on it, and we put it right underneath. We've got a little pallet house for them, and we blow it into the pallet house so they just go in under the shade and sit under the vap cooler.
That's awesome.
And I said, we even leave it at night, because then they'll get on top of the pallets, and that air goes into the little cavity and rises up and keeps them cool. Because when it's 110,
And it's hot. I don't care if it's a dry heat or not. And those little animals have a hard time. It talks about, too, just the fact that because they're stressed, they don't eat as well. So to throw them, put some whole fruits and vegetables in your refrigerator and throw them out midday, and eating that will cool them down and give them something to eat, too. That's a good tip. And now they call them urban chickens, not backyard chickens, because urban farming has become such a big deal.
Okay.
And you got this from what publication?
Grits.com.
Grits.
Grits. It's a nice little newsletter. It comes with, you know, as with any of those newsletters, not everything applies to us because we are so unique in the way we live. But
Could you put a little misting system?
Chickens
out there,
or chickens?
Rome, would that help them?
Oh, I'm sure it would. And I'm sure there are people. They've got the Valley Permaculture Alliance has the annual Tour de Coupe. And I think on some of those, they do have misters. But at the Whitman Plantation, we're not quite that.
I think it's pretty cool to have a swamp cooler, heaven's sake.
That does the trick. I would imagine the wet chicken poop wouldn't smell so good, though.
This is true. They had one other tip. Let's don't go there. There was a suggestion to take milk jugs and fill them with water and freeze them overnight and then just set that in their coop, you know, and just keep refreshing those, and they can kind of nestle up next to that to cool off.
Yeah.
But they are great. They're like little pets, and they have great eggs. Oh, my gosh. I'll never eat another store-bought egg after you spoil me so bad, Romy.
It is different. But you will find out that freezing the jug, putting it out, freezing the jug and putting it out, after about 3 days, you don't want to take something full of chicken waste and put it in your freezer with other food.
I think you store up them from all
your freezer. Separate
your
freezer.
Your cooler deal is just right the right way to
That's
go.
That's right.
Yeah. Because rabbits are another one that are picky. I think after this rabbit, we're probably not going to keep up with the rabbits there. I don't know. They multiply so well that we're done with the rabbits. There's only so many things you can do at any given time. Now, if I was home all day, every day, and we did a complete homesteading, we would absolutely keep them. But the time it takes for processing them and everything, man, it's very tedious work for very little reward when you've got 500 pounds of beef coming, and then you've got
cleaning a rabbit is one of my least favorite things to do on earth.
So we'll leave it at that, and let's move on to vegetable gardening. We have June's coming on. This is about the time I start looking for okra seeds.
We're down to okra and black-eyed peas and our Malabar spinach and sweet potatoes and. Not much when we get to the end of May and into June. However, most places in the country have a lot of months they can't plant anything. So there are still a number of things that you can plant. Of course, right now you should be harvesting your tomatoes and peppers, and your garden should your warm season garden should probably be at its peak. It should probably look at its best, be producing like crazy. Peach trees are starting to produce peaches. And it's kind of at the peak of the harvest, and yet the tailing off of the planting as far as new planting goes until we get into July and August when we can start planting those fall vegetables again. But there are a number of things. We sell a lot of this Malabar spinach, which is a tropical, heat-loving plant that's more of a vine, but you use the foliage just like you would a spinach, and it loves the heat.
But it's spinach.
They call it spinach. It's not a true spinach, but you use it just like you can use it just like you would a spinach or a chard or a leafy green out of your winter garden.
Driving in this morning, coming through Glendale on Northern Avenue, the corn looks like it's getting pretty close to. I mean, I know we're still a little bit away from harvest, but man, those stalks are all right height and.
Well, I would imagine usually Mark Freeman over there in Mesa by about Memorial Day is starting to harvest some corn. So I would think it's pretty close, you know, yeah.
Julie brought some of that sweet corn in last year that she had actually stopped on her way into the studio that morning. And it was so good. We shucked it in the studio and ate it just cold.
I mean, that freshly picked sweet corn, you know, the problem is just even trying to get it home. It's just as good raw right on the cob as it is cooked, I think.
That's another great Arizona staycation, is touring the Arizona Corn Trail.
There you go.
As it harvest goes north up 17 and out 69 and Mortimer's and then across over to Snowflake and Sholo, it's, you can follow the corn.
A lot of people don't realize how much sweet corn's grown in this state for truck gardens and farmers markets and that. And you end up over there. I had no idea till a few years ago around Snowflake and Taylor how much corn was grown over there.
When we have the crawfish festival at the Bison Ranch in Heber Overgaard, we always get corn locally. Last year it came out of Camp Verde. It was right at the tail end of harvest because it was just early enough that the Sholo one wasn't quite ready yet. Ah. So it's a fine balance. But that's something fun, is we go get it all right out of the corn. And we got all the potatoes out of Camp Verde last year. We've just got to find onions. And then all the vegetables at that festival will be locally grown.
I'll call the Cathcart, see what we can do about that.
All right. It's Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348.